Should a church have a discipleship program? That's one of the questions we're going to explore on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently in a short series, Question and Answers. We're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can get your questions answered by sending us a message at radio@faithalone.org. Okay, let's go right to today's discussion with this great question. Here's Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar.
Welcome to Grace in Focus, where we are taking your questions on the Bible and theology. Send them to radio@faithalone.org. Here is a question from Alan. And Alan says, basically, he has a friend who has a problem at church.
Yeah.
I don't like gossipy questions, but there's a practical element to
this.
Okay,
good. Okay?
He says, this friend is at a church, and the pastor has been approached, even by an elder, about setting up a discipleship program. And the pastor has responded that the Lord hasn't put that on his heart, so he doesn't want to start a discipleship program. And Alan's question is, do you have any advice I can share with my brother or some direction I can point him to? So what do you do if you're in a church where there isn't really a program of discipleship? Now, what we say is you need to have a local church to grow spiritually.
Right.
But do you need a specific program of discipleship?
See, that's a great, great question. And, you know, I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ for 4 years and a student leader for 2 years. And during that time, I thought it was vitally important that you're in a small group. We used to call them action groups. Mm-hmm. I have friends that are with Navigators, and they have their small groups.
Yeah.
And I've been in churches where they have home churches or small groups. And a lot of these are called discipleship groups. My opinion is, although those things have their place and are somewhat helpful, we don't find that taught anywhere. From Genesis to Revelation,
Yeah. That
is not taught in the Bible.
So what you're saying is there's no chapter or verse that says you need to start a discipleship program in your church. If you don't, then somehow your church is doing something wrong.
Right. Now, the closest one people come to, can you turn to 2 Timothy 2:2? And this is a key verse that the Navigators use and Campus Crusade used it all the time.
Is this the ballerina verse?
This is the How'd you hear about that? Norm, we kept it a secret. What ballerina verse?
Second, 2:2.
I get it. I didn't get it.
Oh, cheesy joke.
That was a cheesy joke.
Can you tell I've been stuck with children for the last month and a half?
Exactly. You're telling tutu jokes.
Yes. All right. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also.
Okay. Now, that was a verse that we used with Campus Crusade for Christ. The Navigators used to say, this is why we need small groups.
Now, you need teaching.
Right.
There's unquestionably, the Bible says that people should be teaching other people.
Right. But here's the point. Paul is writing here to somebody named Timothy. Timothy was not a pastor. He was what we would call an apostolic delegate, or someone appointed by Paul to work with the elders at the church in Ephesus. That's
right.
Where he was, in Ephesus. And when Paul says, the things which you have learned from me, Paul taught Timothy,
Yeah. These
you are to instruct to faithful men. Faithful men where? In the church of Ephesus.
Right.
Who are these faithful men? We don't normally ask that question. I would say these are the elders in the church at Ephesus.
Right.
Paul talked to them in Acts chapter 20 as he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's challenging them. And then who are able to teach others also.
Right.
I believe the point here is talking about the elders in a local church teaching the next generation of elders in a local church.
Mm.
So the point is all local church.
Mm-hmm.
This is nothing about you need to have small groups. This is saying Timothy was to teach the elders at the church in Ephesus, who were then to raise up the next generation of leaders who would become the elders for the next generation.
Right.
And that should be occurring in every local church. So, in answer to the original question, I would say I have no problem if the local church wants to start some sort of special Sunday school classes, special home Bible studies.
There's freedom.
There's Christian
liberty to do that.
Right.
But it's not something that if you're not doing, then somehow you're doing something wrong.
Right. But I also have no problem with saying that what we do week in and week out is discipleship.
Well, see, okay, so now that's the positive. What the church is already doing is discipleship, is what you're saying.
Right.
You don't need to do something more than that. You don't need to have a special program.
That's my view.
You don't need to order a curriculum from ChristianBook.com or something in order to do discipleship. Just preaching the word, just celebrating the Lord's Supper together, those kinds of things, praying together, that is discipleship.
When you read the New Testament, the teaching you get is that discipleship occurs in the context of the meeting of the local church, which is primarily the Lord's Supper meeting, the remembrance meeting.
Right.
And when you were there, you were growing in the faith. That is discipleship. That is where you grow in the faith. Like Hebrews 10, I mention a lot, 23 to 25. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but exhort or encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. That is the meeting of the local church. We need the meeting of the local church, and that is discipleship. Now, oftentimes today, especially in the seeker-sensitive church model, church has become evangelism. And so what happens is the purpose of the church is if you've got 1,000 people in a big mega church or 10,000 people, the goal here is to bring in all your unsaved friends, and then the pastor's going to evangelize them.
Right.
And so if you've got 1,000 people, you've got 950 born-again people and 50 not born again, and the whole service is geared toward evangelism. Nothing right. is geared toward discipling the 950.
Right.
That is a horrible mistake. In my estimation, we are to disciple the people in the local church week in and week out. Now, of course, when we do that, we have to remind them of the promise of everlasting life, assurance of everlasting life.
Sure.
And if an unbeliever comes into our midst and hears this teaching, over time, they're going to understand what we're saying. Now, they may believe it, they may not, and hopefully they'll ask questions.
Right.
But the point is, we don't gear our whole church service toward
right.
evangelizing the unregenerate. I don't even think that's a good thing to do necessarily on Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. What I would suggest is, yes, you want to make the promise of life clear on Resurrection Sunday, but still, we're exhorting believers on Resurrection Sunday to live in the power of Christ's resurrection. That's
right.
what I just did this last Resurrection Sunday, and I was calling the believer. Of course, this was on Zoom, so can you call that preaching? It's more like Zooming.
Yeah, right.
But when I Zoomed on Resurrection Sunday, I was calling them to live at the entrance to the empty tomb, to live in the power of the resurrection that
right.
the Spirit of God applies in our Christian lives. So discipleship takes place in the local church. However, I would say one other thing. I have a problem with the pastor being the one who decides.
Right.
The people who decide should be the faithful men, the elders.
Mm.
It shouldn't be one man deciding. It should be a group of men, the elders, making this decision.
Well, what about, we meet on Sunday mornings for church. What about the other 6 days of the week? How does discipleship happen during those other times? Doesn't it happen in the context of your own, you're feeding yourself with the Word of God? Doesn't it happen in the context of the family, too?
Sure. Now, of course, things have changed since the first century in terms of opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
People can listen to us on the radio or on our website any day of the week. People can read our blogs 5 days a week or any day, and they can read books and articles and things. We have the Bible in English in something like 100 translations,
right.
probably more.
Right.
You can get many different versions of the Greek New Testament, and you can get interlinears of the Greek New Testament, so you can see the English underneath the Greek. You can even get interlinears of the Hebrew Old Testament. So there's lots of things that can help us today, but it seems to me Monday through Saturday, we're reflecting on what we heard on Sunday and what we thought on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we can add in these other things, and we can study the Word of God for ourselves. We can be in small groups, and all those things are helpful. And we encourage people to listen to our podcast and to read our blogs and do these things.
Right.
But these things are not in place of the local church. These are supplements. We are not a church. We are a parachurch ministry. We come along the local church to help the local church.
Right.
We don't come along to replace the local church.
Right.
The local church is the vehicle God has chosen to disciple people.
So to summarize, if this pastor doesn't want to have a discipleship program, what would you say? We shouldn't hold it against that pastor.
Right. And I would say the bigger question is this pastor accurately proclaiming the word of God?
Right.
And that you're not reading anything in the email that tells me whether that's the case.
Yeah, we don't know.
So if the pastor is accurately proclaiming the word of God and the promise of everlasting life, praise God and enjoy this church. Most likely, if they're like most American churches, there are Sunday school classes.
Right.
Can't you plug into some Sunday school classes? There are probably some home Bible studies.
Abby and I, we belong to a small group that we just formed with some other families, and it's not connected to any one church. My home church doesn't have midweek meetings or anything,
right.
So we just get together with people outside of the church. But personally, I try to study the Bible every day.
Right.
I try to talk to my kids about it every day, and I don't have a curriculum. I don't have a program. I just kind of go over it with my kids. And so there's a lot of Christian freedom, and there's also, wouldn't you say, there's a lot of just self-responsibility
to
do this.
And you're raising a separate point right here at the end, but it's important. Deuteronomy 6:4, the great Shema of Israel, the Lord your God is one. And within that context, the Israelites were to train their children from morning to evening.
Right.
The role of evangelizing and discipling your children falls on you. You don't go to some local church and say, you evangelize them, you disciple them.
Right.
So all week long, yes, you need to be teaching, discipling, evangelizing your children. Then the local church is the place in which they are going to grow beyond what they get in the home. But in the home, this is where the foundation of one's entire Christian life should be developed.
Right.
So great point.
Right.
And I'm glad you're doing that. Unfortunately, a lot of Christian parents don't do that.
They don't. And I think maybe it's because they're too dependent on these programs. They're too dependent on other people to do the discipleship work for them. And they're not thinking about it organically. As it's already occurring in your family. It's already occurring in your local church. You don't need these extras. You just need to be more intentional about what's already happening.
Great, great, great point.
Keep sending your questions to radio@faithalone.org. And be sure to go to our website for all kinds of neat articles, hundreds of audio now, and a great resource for your discipleship.
Thanks.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax-deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, tomorrow on the program, we're going to ask the question, what is the Holy Spirit's role in our eternal salvation? So you don't want to miss that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.